Friends, good morning. Welcome to worship at the Presbyterian Church of Lawrenceville. Before I begin my announcements and we begin our worship service, I want to confess what's on my heart. It's probably on your heart as well. As I read the headlines yesterday and then this morning about two mass shootings that have happened in the last 24 hours, we're going to take moments of silence for those victims. But before we do, I feel like saying I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of getting up here on a Sunday morning after some tragedy has happened that was preventable in many ways, and just praying. We need to do that as Christian people. We need to pray. We need to read the scripture. But I'm reminded of a line from Luke when Jesus says, you can discern the weather, you got great weathermen, but you can't discern the times. And so we're going to take a moment of silence, but I would encourage us, all of us, to take time today, this week, anytime, to do something. Don't just pray. Don't just say we offer our thoughts and prayers to those victims, but do something. Wherever you are politically, exercise your conscience as you read the scripture for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is what Christ calls us to do. Not just keep silence, not just pray, but to do something. And if there are those of you who have ideas about what we might do together, I'm all ears. I'd love to talk with you during our fellowship time. And so with all of that, and with all of the contents of your heart, whatever you're carrying with you today about that and about anything else, let's just take a moment and practice silence together. Amen.
Please join me for the scripture reading this morning. Listen for the word of God. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them from cords of human kindness with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zebom? My heart reconciles within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. The word of the Lord.
And our New Testament reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Let us listen for God's word to us. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator.
In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. But Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you know I have a 3.5-year-old son, Ross, and Ross loves Toy Story. In fact, I'm positive that is a bit of an understatement. We've seen all of the Toy Story movies. In fact, we own the first three, and we've seen the fourth one in theaters, and we're going to get it when it comes out. That's just a fact of life. We've been to the new Toy Story Land down in Universal Studios in Orlando. It comes recommended, by the way. We own Toy Story children's books, bed sheets, pajamas, underwear. By we, I mean Ross. Or do I? We've got a few Toy Story water bottles, Toy Story backpack. We have miniature Toy Story figurines, and we've got just about every Toy Story character that they sell. In fact, we make regular trips just to Target, just to go to the toy aisle and see what Toy Story toys they have in stock on that day. As a family, we have plans to dress up coordinatingly. That's not really a word, but we're going to coordinate our costumes for Halloween with a Toy Story theme. And in case you think we're not totally obsessed with Toy Story, we also have Toy Story fruit snacks, Toy Story ice cream, and Toy Story cereal. Those are all real things. And unfortunately, they're just as expensive as they sound. So several weeks ago, we celebrated the 4th of July with some friends from seminary down near the shore where they live now. And Ashley, my wife, and Ross, our son, were invited to walk in a local 4th of July parade with a mom's group that our friend is a part of down there. And the theme for their float was Toy Story. You guessed it. You're with me. And I think I might have mentioned that we were fans of Toy Story. So it was easy to convince Ross that he should participate. And so they had to come up with costume ideas to participate in this parade, and it was actually a pretty easy task. Ross is a big fan of all of the characters of Toy Story, but by far his favorite character is Buzz Lightyear. And he already had Buzz Lightyear pajamas, which we've hinted at, right? And they look like his spacesuit. So Ross could just wear that shirt as part of his costume. But like good parents that we are, we had to go on Amazon and get him a set of inflatable Buzz Lightyear wings. And so when those came in the mail, he was so excited, right? You can imagine a three-year-old with his pajamas on, with these wings on, running back and forth through the living room, chasing down Emperor Zurg, a.k.a. our dog, and throwing himself off the couch, shouting, "To infinity and beyond!" So we tried to focus his excitement by explaining to him that he was going to be Buzz Lightyear and his friend Harrison was going to be Woody, and that they together would walk in this parade, and this was the theme of the group that they were walking with. Well, I think there might have been a little bit of a miscommunication there, as is, you know, sometimes the case with toddlers. So along the way, somewhere, it was clear that Ross thought that he was going to this parade to see Buzz and Woody, and the other characters for that matter. And so the 4th of July comes, right? Ashley and Ross get dressed up. We get to the parade staging area, which is really neat if you've ever walked in a parade. It's a different experience than watching a parade. But we get to the staging area, like, obscenely early, way too early for a three-year-old. And then stand in a parking lot for like 2 hours. And the parade finally begins. And Ashley and Ross, along with the other folks participating from this mom's group, begin to walk the parade route. And the whole time, Ross kept turning to Ashley and asking very genuinely, "Where's Buzz?" And so every so often along this route, someone from the sidewalk would look in Ross's direction, and they'd point and they'd shout with as much excitement as a three-year-old could process, "Look, there's Buzz Lightyear." And Ross would quickly turn behind him, frantically trying to find this elusive Buzz Lightyear. "Where is Buzz?" Right? And so Ashley had to keep reminding him, "Buddy, they're talking about you. You're Buzz Lightyear. They're talking about you." And so when the parade was over, I picked up Ross and I asked him, "You know, did you have fun?" And his head kind of sunk into his shoulders a little bit, and he sort of said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, what's wrong?" And he said, "I didn't get to see Buzz and Woody." I think sometimes our relationship with God is kind of that way, too. It certainly was for Israel. It seems it didn't matter how many times God reminded them that they were God's people, that they were God's beloved. They continued to wander away from God. They forgot who they were. The prophecy of Hosea as a whole revolves around this idea of God's unfathomable love for God's wayward people. Nowhere else in Scripture do we feel so intensely God's agony over the betrayal of Israel, and yet God's enduring love for them nevertheless. Throughout the book of Hosea, Israel is regularly portrayed in various metaphors. For example, as a woman who's left her partner for another partner. Or in the case of our reading this morning, as a child whom God raised from infancy, and whom God taught to walk, and whom God cared for. And so the criticism against Israel in the book of Hosea is that Israel had forgotten who they were. They had forgotten who God was, and as a result, they had forsaken God and began to worship other gods. But rather than executing God's judgment against Israel, God laments. God cries out, "How can I give you up, Israel? If only Israel could just remember who they are. If only they could see themselves as God sees them. Then maybe they wouldn't turn away." As many of you know, a couple of weeks ago, I spent a week with a group of students from our church and some 5,992 other students in the heat at Triennium, at the Presbyterian Triennium Conference at Purdue University. And the theme for the conference was "Here's My Heart," and it was based on the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," which we'll sing after the sermon. But each day also had its own theme based on lyrics from that hymn, and the theme for day three was "Prone to Wander." Our preacher in worship that day was the Reverend Dr. David Gambrell, who is the Associate for Worship in the Office of Worship and Theology down at the PCUSA Mothership down in Louisville. That's a joke, by the way. I guess you have to go to seminary to call it the Mothership. I don't know. But Gambrell pointed out that the consequence of our wandering away is that feeling of being lost, of not knowing who we are or whose we are or what we've been called to be, for that matter. Israel was prone to wander. We turn on the news this morning and we see stories of gun violence, and we're reminded how often we, you and I, are prone to wander. According to Hosea, Israel's wandering looked a lot like worshiping other gods. According to the author of Colossians, our wandering looks a lot like fornication and impurity, evil desires, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, lying, racism, and religious intolerance. This morning we might add gun violence and murder. But what is it that makes us so prone to wandering? What is it that makes us turn our backs on those that we love? What is it that makes us turn our backs on God? There's a word for it, Gambrell told us at Trianum. That word is sin. Sin is our wandering. It's also the reason for our wandering. It's kind of tricky that way. The Apostle Paul talks about sin like a force, like a cancer that eats away at us and our relationships with God and with one another. Sin pulls us down, and sin tells us that we're not good enough, that we're not God's beloved. Sin marginalizes and oppresses. Scripture is clear, and maybe, hopefully, I should say, this isn't new for you, but God hates sin. God hates sin not because it means that we've messed up again or we've broken the rules or we can't just seem to get it right, but God hates sin because sin hurts God's people. Sin pulls us away from God. God knows that we are prone to wander, but the good news of the gospel is this, that as serious as God is about sin, God is all the more serious about salvation. Echoing God's voice in Hosea, the writer of Colossians reminds us of our baptisms, that we're clothed in Christ. The writer of Colossians reminds us that we've been raised to new life. That not only have we been raised to new life, but that our lives are so hidden with Christ in God. That Christ is in us and we are in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I certainly need to be reminded of that once in a while. If not for my own sake, for the sake of all of us as a community. Perhaps we need folks in our lives who are willing to stand along our parade route shouting, "Look, there's God's beloved child." And when we turn around frantically trying to figure out who it is that they're talking about, when sin creeps in, when we're feeling that tendency to wander away, perhaps we need others along our journey who will remind us they're talking about you. You are God's beloved child. Friends, it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. In the person of Jesus Christ, we hear God's voice loud and clear. How can I give you up? You are my child. Through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, God searches us out. God gathers us in, and God says, "You are precious in my sight, beloved, chosen." Thanks be to God. Amen.